She's gonna record today too, just for the hell of it.
You're just gonna what?
She's gonna record today too, for the hell of it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, not every single Car Talk episode has to be about something.
Put that here. Let's test that there. Let's just, you know, cup holder test.
This is
a cup holder test, everybody.
Is it? So maybe we should just discuss the name. Like, this could be
Car,
like,
Talk is absolutely taken.
A prelude episode.
Like, not even a little.
You don't think that Car Talk is a show on NPR, right?
Yeah.
They talk about, like,
cars.
The two guys.
I just crank, can't talk about cars. I don't listen to NPR.
So. I don't either. I actually only ever listen to that show when we're on road trips, and then I'd listen to it every road trip because it was the one station you can get consistently.
It's a pretty funny show because people
is.
Call in and they're like,
my car has this sound that's going like, calling like, oh yeah, you need a new radiator because yours has currently got rust build up in the volume. Like, how the hell could you possibly know that?
And they're like, should I get my oil changed every week? And then they just like ream people like who are just like being stupid about their car. Yeah.
Well, it's like that thing Cliff has been posting on Facebook, all the troll tactics for fixing your car.
Like, you see those?
Like, pour water over your headlights.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you don't want your sidewalks to freeze, make sure you pour water over them, because the snow won't stick to water.
Well, no, one of them was, leave your lights on all night, because
so they don't frost. And then we started a comment war on that one, which was, and if that, you know, if it was just so my dad had posted on there, it was like, If you don't want to do that, you can also mix your headlight fluid half and half with alcohol. That'll help too.
I want to know what people do if they ever try to replace their headlight fluid. Like, you know, like the people that are actually trying to do it, what are they doing? Like, are they filling up the encasement or like,
I don't know.
Like, it's
Garion's,
leaking.
Garion's Land Rover had a crack in the back light fixture, and it would collect water because the crack was at the top, and it put it as a watertight seal. So we were stopping at Pusaba or something, and then Eli stepped out and looked at it and tapped it, like, holy crap, you do have headlight fluid.
Is that how that
it's
works?
A thing. It's a thing.
Your blinker fluid's leaking.
That would be like one of those things someday where like it's a technology that everyone jokes about, but it actually becomes a real thing. And then
everyone's
like, oh,
turns
shit.
Out we get liquid state
lights
or something that are much more efficient.
The light can last forever.
But you got to refill it with an electrolyte or something, so it needs water every couple of years.
That would be crazy.
Oh, my God. No, wait. We have those water-based, like, electrolyte-based things.
Wow.
Oh.
Should I get in the other lane and go a different way?
There's no other way at this point, I don't think.
Well, it looks like Car Talk's going to be extended today.
Okay, so what do you think about the philosophical implications of a Wittgensteinian interpretation?
I know I hate
of,
traffic, so that's another thing.
Yeah,
that is happening.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that that's a thing that's happening to you now.
Yeah.
If you look at it though, it's just this lane.
Yeah,
I think there might either be an accident or southbound I-25 still messed up from yesterday.
Wow. Oh yeah. So
like 5 a.m. someone wrecked their car.
That's what I was gonna say to you guys, but I was like,
the
it won't matter for them. Oh, like, it would matter for you, wouldn't it? I should have.
No,
said
it didn't.
Something.
It didn't matter at all. It didn't matter much because you just had to stay out of the rightmost lane. Since they fixed the 6th interchange, it doesn't matter.
There was like all the lanes were closed.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, man.
Yeah. I think someone. It was a semi and a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So it was just a semi that was left.
It was a semi and pieces of a motorcycle and its rider.
Pieces of a
strewn around. So they probably were collecting body parts or something. In a bucket. Body part bucket.
I just, like,
with a spatula.
People who slow down to look at accidents
driving,
are the worst kind of people.
Looky-loos, yeah.
They should be the first against the wall when the revolution comes.
Rubberneckers.
Oh my God.
There should be camps.
Yeah.
And we should put them in camps.
Yeah.
Are looky-loos and rubberneckers different?
Looky-loo. Yeah, I think there's a subtle distinction. I feel like, is rubbernecking because you whip your head back and forth, or because you crane a lot?
It's because you crane to, like, your, like, neck is, like, rubber because you're not bending.
So is it rubber because it's bendy, or rubber because it's bouncing back and forth?
Bendy.
Bendy. Okay, so I would say that rubbernecker and looky-loos are probably about the same, although looky-loos aren't necessarily in a car. I think rubberneckers are always in a car, aren't they?
Because you have to turn your head
in
a car.
Rather, the looky-loo could be the guy who comes out of his shack to come out and just stare at you while digging his belly button.
The shack that he built in your front lawn to make sure you can...
Without a shirt on.
Yeah.
You're like, why are you not wearing a shirt?
He's at least wearing a white...
Don't wear shirts. So I was at a karaoke bar last night for some reason.
Did you go to karaoke afterwards?
I did, yeah. Okay. And it's right down Mississippi. It's just down in Sheridan in Mississippi. It's like, it's a 5-minute drive from my house.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know this place. And it was a dive bar that was probably one of the diviest bars I've been in a while. It wasn't quite down to like Gunnison level, but it was pretty divey. Like, I was sitting there with Steve, and we were like, we're gonna get into a fight, aren't we? Like,
Steve?
Yeah. Steve Walker.
Oh, okay. I was like,
we just got out of class. No, what? Just got out of class with Gary, and we were sitting like, are we gonna get into a fight here? He's like, I'm gonna go limber up in the bathroom. We'll be right back. It's like, because seriously, it was a whole bunch of, not necessarily, it was like the kind of people that would get into bar fights, but 20 years ago. So they're all old now. I don't give a fuck.
So it's exactly like Sam. So what is that guy's name? Sam Wilkins or Sam Williams from Roadhouse? He's like the older ex-bouncer dude who is like a badass.
Well, they weren't starting nothing, but it was like, we were thinking, I'm six select words from starting a fight right now.
I want to know that, I want to talk about the definition of a dive bar.
I'll tell you the definition of a dive bar right now, because this is something I observed. Okay. There was a vending machine in the corner, okay. A regular snack vending machine, that contained cookies, crackers, corn nuts, chips, candy, and cigarettes.
Okay, so combination snack cigarette
also machines. A completely alliterative candy machine. Which is the thing that impressed me.
Alliterative?
Like alliterative. Like, they were all C's.
Oh, okay. Wow, there you go.
Yeah. That's,
wow, I didn't even... Yeah. That was another level.
Yeah, it was a whole other level. But the part where it's got literally corn nuts, chips, cookies, and cigarettes. And I don't mean like, you know, the cigarette vending machines.
I'm surprised they didn't have condoms.
Yeah.
Right? Like condoms, you'd think maybe they were sold out.
I'm thinking that I need to get out of this lane.
You might want to go over one lane.
Yeah, just
but one. One's all you need, right?
There's a lot of people getting back into this lane now. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, we're still moving, okay. So there's not a blockage. There's probably a stalled car or something.
There is. It's right in front of us, I think. Thank you, guy.
Someone decided to put their car in another car. Oh, no, someone decided to just leave their car.
Oh, it just got out.
Okay.
Got out.
You can still stay in the middle lane if you want.
Well, it's too late now.
It is too late. We're all going to die alone in a fire in the rain in the woods.
In this fire, in this car.
Yep.
We're going to drive off the cliff. Mm. Don't be stupid.
So that's something I wonder about that. Like, if we had the radio going in the background, would we get in trouble for posting other people's music?
If you put it on... So, the thing that I learned from posting a video of Caught Eating was I had very subtle sounds of the Scream television show in the background, and Viacom pulled my video down because there was at least, like, 5 or 10
recognizable
in a row that are recognizable from a show that they own.
Well, they run the algorithm over it, and if the algorithm catches it, it's probably good enough.
Yep. So it depends. I think free press is like less than 15 seconds of music.
It's something like that.
Or like whatever they call that.
It used to be about 30. Now I think they've actually changed it to be about 15.
A lot of the podcasts will do that when they don't.
Is that because things like dubstep are the same? The first 30 seconds are the same as the rest of the song. So like that's basically the same.
Dubstep determines.
You'd never
like
know.
Freeze, right?
You'd never know if you just play the same first 30 seconds again.
I knew dubstep was socially impactful, but I didn't know it was like this scale.
Yeah, evidently so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just theorizing here. So that lane opened up.
So the definition of a dive bar is you have to have an alliterative, all-covering.
Well, I feel like a dive bar is hard to nail down as a definition.
Is it
much
more
as
like
it is,
a feeling?
Well, it's more like it's a collection of observations, and it has to meet X number of the criteria, right?
Okay.
So it's like
like being a psychopath or something.
Well, yeah, it's exactly like that. It's basically being a dive bar is a psychopath.
That is one of the criteria: is how many psychopaths are in the.
Well, I would say there's well, let me describe this place, and we can decide how many of these things are features of a dive bar.
Okay.
So, first of all, it was in. It was not really in a bar neighborhood. It was across the street from a strip club.
Okay.
Or a gentleman's club, or whatever it was. Where you're like, okay, that's...
I don't think
that's,
we even use that term.
Well, but it actually said gentleman's club. I think it actually said gentleman's club on
really?
It. Or lounge club or something, but then they were buddy eaters. I'm like, this is where they're going to be naked people inside.
I
must see some boobies if I go in there. But probably not nice ones, because of where I am. Since it's across the street from a dive bar. Then you have this weird cyclical recursive definition.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it that the strip club's across the street from the dive bar, or vice versa, that makes one or the other, and then, like, you can validate whether a strip club is, it like, a lowbrow or highbrow based on the bar around it, or
bar
causes...
Yeah, like, there's a Diamond Cabaret, right? And that place is nice.
Yeah.
Actually, I got nothing to know. That's, I'm talking to my ass. I don't know any about strip clubs. But, so it's across the street from what appears to be a thinly veiled strip club. It's, there was a bouncer, An unenthusiastic bouncer.
in the dive bar.
Yeah, okay. The dive bar. Okay. I didn't go to strip clubs from the dive bar. We're talking about dive bar characteristics, okay?
I know, I got strip club confused.
I feel like part of me, the experience of me getting there was good because as I was pulling up, someone was pulling their car out with their headlights off at 9:30 at night.
Jesus.
So there was part of that. That was part of it.
Drunk leaning bar.
Yeah. You walk in through an awkward entrance because there's like this little left turn and there's the bathrooms right there and then a really tight right turn to get in and there's just this unenthusiastic bouncer kind of staring at you. I didn't realize it was a bouncer at first because he was just kind of hanging out. Whole bunch of signs about have to have an ID to get in, and I didn't read any of them. I just walked in because my friend was already singing karaoke and I just walked right in.
Did they stop you?
No, of course not. No one stops this beard, man.
Oh, so I know that, but I was just like, you know, okay, so is that one of the characteristics is having a bunch of signs that are unenforced?
Yeah, that's part of it. Okay. That could be part of it. The bathrooms are never clean. And I don't mean just not bar clean, but I mean, like, there might be a dead guy in here, and I'm not sure.
Dude, your bathroom is bar clean. It's like, oh, you know, this is descriptive.
And it's, and it's just, like, peeling linoleum and, you know, like that. Shit card on the
wouldn't,
walls.
Wouldn't wanna, like,
the soap dispenser had fallen down, or it was just propped up and was unusable because it was propped against the piece that lets you dispense
soap. I think you're supposed to hold it yourself and pump it.
Yeah. The paper towel dispenser was mounted at an angle, and I don't know why. The doors to the bathroom were clearly not like your normal heavy bar door, like a heavy, it was like an inside door, like an internal house door, like it was kind of light.
Yeah, it was not solid core.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little laminate door. The dissimilar chairs tends to help, but is not everything, right? Like, there's not a consistent chair type. There's like two or three different types in varying states of wear.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, they didn't replace all the chairs, they just augmented more chairs.
Okay.
And which tells me that they probably break chairs.
Which gives you the fight vibe.
Hastily added karaoke with subpar sound system to try and drive more people to come in there. A preponderance of people with vests on of varying types. Leather,
like
denim, rhinestones, appliques on vests.
Rhinestones?
Yeah.
Really?
There were some people with rhinestones.
I feel like that's like
on a sleeveless denim vest.
The Great White Buffalo, you know, you're like, oh man.
There were a lot of those. Also, there were two pool tables that were in use constantly the entire time when we were there. Several video games of varying states of repair, and none of them newer than 10, 15 years old, and a computer darts thing, like a digital dartboard, and then that vending machine, and a big sign that says smoking out back, and a door that presumably leads out back.
You didn't check?
No. Also, they sold mini pitchers of beer, which were about the same size as those liters of beer that we were looking at the place I went to earlier.
The liters of beer.
Remember that brewery we were at?
Yeah, yeah.
Less than 12 hours ago?
Yeah, I know that, but I don't remember the liter.
They had liter beers there.
Oh, okay.
It was a German place.
Cool.
So they were selling these mini pitchers, and I was like, I literally just came from somewhere where that would be considered a serving.
All right, so how many of those aspects make this place a dive bar? So signs being up, not a big deal, but the signs not being followed, maybe the bouncer.
Bouncer, I've seen that at like Scruffy Murphy's or something, so I don't, you know, that's one thing. I think it's like there's a threshold, right? There's a threshold.
Yeah,
it's like five of the ten.
Sure.
Right?
Are those all, so you're saying everything that you listed, so this was 100% of a dive bar?
Well, I'm not saying it was 100%. I'm just saying, like, it had walls and a ceiling. That's not a dive bar. It had a central bar.
Gotcha.
That's not a dive bar.
So, like, let's get the criteria.
This I think fits. The ones that I listed were the aspects that made me think it was a dive bar.
Okay. Is there, like...
Also, I think the word lounge was in the title.
Okay. So,
have you ever been to a lounge?
I don't know. Larimer Lounge, I think.
How was Larimer Lounge?
I think I've been there once. I don't know.
See, all I'm saying is... Lounge was the name for a classy establishment 50 years ago.
So, like, much like poor people appropriate rich people's good names, poor bars and, like, dive bars will appropriate.
Well, it's
like,
also the aspect that maybe 50 years ago this was a nice bar. And then they haven't painted it since or something, right? Like,
all right.
We're going to leave it just the way it is forever and ever.
So, what do you think the purpose behind the small pitchers of beer was?
I think it was because it was like 2.5 beers, and so it, you could sell them for cheap. I didn't drink anything, so I didn't know.
Yeah, the price. Yeah, so I'm guess I'm asking if it was an economic benefit decision.
I believe
or if
they
it was
have
like
larger
beer
pitchers.
For less dollar decision.
I believe it was. I think it was to provide a cheaper alternative to a full pitcher.
Okay.
Which tells you something right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So. Like prioritizing the needs of the people who can afford to be in your bar.
Right.
Right.
Looking around, I saw the majority of the people had bottled beer.
Oh, really? Nobody was doing the pitcher thing?
Well, our table's doing the pitcher thing. I saw a couple here and there, but mostly it was buckets of bottles.
I don't really know about the buckets of bottles thing. Like, when did that start and why? And
a few years ago, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago is when I really started seeing it. But it's probably been around for a little while. The thing that gets me is I have zero respect for people who order a bottle of beer in a bar that has a tap.
Well,
unless you really don't like any of the other taps.
My hierarchy of taste, personally, is tap, bottle, can, right? So I think
depending on the beer, yes.
Well, I guess in most
in
things
general,
that
yeah.
have that option, so even sodas or like
yeah,
things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that, usually you go straight from the delicious box of syrup.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just like go to the bottle if you can.
Yeah,
then,
bottles. Bottles soda tends to be better. Yeah.
I think that usually generally holds true for most beers.
There's one beer, I forget which one it was, but they lined the cans with a hop oil to make it hoppier. So their canned version has a hoppier flavor to offset the canned taste.
So that would.
So that gives you a bit of a distinct difference, right?
That would be someone to me who doesn't offer bottles or doesn't have a tap that's generally accessible.
They have a tap. I forget which one. I gotta look it up again. It wasn't Dale's, but it was somewhere in that category.
But Dale's is a really weird Dale's is the exception that makes the rule, right? Because like Dale's only does stuff in cans,
and
all of it's
well, pretty, they have tap.
Yeah, but like what I mean is like I
right,
haven't
right,
seen
right.
Dale's at a tap normally.
Like, I've seen it at the 1UP. That's one of the reasons I like the 1UP.
Okay,
is
they have
get Dale's on tap.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mama's on the Yellow Pills too on tap. So, basically.
But generally, my rule of thumb is if I can get on tap, I will.
And that's what I would say too, because I think that the flavor is better.
Joe,
what's that?
Are you partaking in this conversation?
I am. Wait, just
you got an opinion
no.
on the tap versus bottle versus can?
Well, see, with that, I generally prefer a bottle, but I haven't really developed enough of a taste to tell the difference between whether or not it's crisper from a bottle or if it's on tap. I generally
I think it has to do with the instancing of carbonation. So, like, the fact that you're carbonating it right as you pour it out of a tap makes it taste different than...
Well, it gives you a head.
...bottle carbonation or any other
one thing.
That you do it.
So,
yeah.
That's...
It good.
Yeah.
You can do that with a bottle,
well, hey,
too.
You can, but the people who order bottles of beer at a bar do not pour it in a glass.
Yes.
Come on, but there's a lot of reasons in this world that I'll get ahead.
Sure.
Because you're married, and so
yeah.
probably the main one.
Okay, I digress. I just wanted to make
okay, so... The people ordering bottles of beer when you can get it on tap, what does that say about the bar?
I still think that if you have the choice between, and I've seen this happen, where they're like, I'll have a Coors, and they're like, tap or bottle, and they're like, boom, bottle. And it's like, I want to fight you.
I want to physically go out to the smoking area out back that may or may not exist.
I guess my big thing there is it's still, like, I understand the economics of being served at a bar versus buying stuff retail, but for me, I don't understand what you'd buy... A beer that you could buy at home for half or a quarter of the price when you can get a novel experience that I do not have at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that's a big thing for me.
For the same reason that I don't really like playing humans in those RPGs, I can totally understand that. Because
fetishism.
Like,
it's
like you could easily go out there with a sword and like hack stuff up and be crazy. Or you can, you know, actually like play it. So it's an experience that you would never normally play in real life.
Yeah,
like, yeah okay. I get it.
So for me, that's part of it. That the other part is, it's not actually debatable. It's demonstrably true that you get more flavor from a glass than a bottle because you're covering the bottle with your mouth. You cannot smell the beer,
and that has to do with the glass. I was talking to Sammy about this last night. Glass shape for
yeah,
beer.
Yeah, glass shape
really
for beer is important
for taste.
Yeah, and so that's where if you actually give a fuck about tasting the beer, you will pour it into a glass. If you're going to pour a bottle into a glass, you might as well get it on tap.
Yeah. If you're drinking Coors, do you care about the taste of the beer?
Which is the next part.
You might want to mask the smell.
Which circles us back around to why you're buying bottles of Coors from a...
Dive bar.
By a bucket.
Yeah.
At a dive bar.
So, But that establishes that the bottle, the beer type, the beer servicing vehicle is not a determinant of the dive bar status.
I would say that if there's a preponderance of bottles in buckets,
okay,
it is an aspect of a dive bar.
Okay,
it goes in the bucket.
Okay, so that kind of makes me think about the which things get pulled from things that are like.
Right. Well,
because you,
you get a bucket
of beers at like Joe's Crab Shack.
Yeah, so I was thinking if you get a bucket of beer, I got excited because I thought that meant you're going to give me 64 ounces of beer.
Right, like a physical bucket.
Like an
McDonald's
actual
used
bucket.
To do a bucket of fries, and they would give you like a full large cup of French fries, and people died. No, they didn't die, but like
they probably did
so
later.
So I can imagine
but,
you're like your presupposition that you're like, oh, my
I was excited.
God,
like I was like, so I'm just going to get 64 ounces of beer in a straw. It's going to be fucking awesome. We're gonna share it. It's gonna be like how the moon.
Is drinking a beer with a straw, like a symbol, like a thing about a dive bar that people.
I don't think anyone drinks a beer out of a straw.
I hope not.
But if you had a bucket and you drink out of a straw, at least you get the smell.
It's like a boba straw, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Chug.
That's the culmination of this entire conversation.
Oh,
is that
no,
you should
no,
drink
actually,
beer with boba
no, no,
straws.
Actually, what I have seen with what you do with the straw is you put the straw in the beer bottle,
flip it up,
and flip it up, and you
yeah.
chug it easier. But then I'm thinking, why are you doing this? Just chug malt liquor. Stop fucking around.
Bros.
But so now that we've established some of the criteria,
well, we haven't though. That's
no,
what
no, that's what I mean. Some.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is, look at counterpoints. Like you said, Joe's Crab Shack.
Yeah.
It doesn't have unenforced signs.
Yeah.
It doesn't have peeling paint. It doesn't have a bathroom that's sketchy as fuck because it's got the peeling linoleum and a dead guy in it.
So,
yeah.
Would you say that there's a difference in a sense of upkeep?
Well, that's what I'm meaning, is that we're identifying specific characteristics that you have to have more than X of.
Right.
Having one of them by no means puts you down, because you could still be a hipster bar. Mm-hmm. Or a faux dive bar.
Oh my god, we're not even...
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But what I'm saying is... If you, like, you could have an inattentive bouncer because you just want to scare people away who are underage. Mm. So
yeah, they do that at 1UP, and I don't think 1UP's a dive bar.
Well, 1UP doesn't have an inattentive bouncer, though. I've never not been carded at 1UP.
Oh, that's right. No, you're right. Okay.
But 1UP kind of is a dive bar. They're trying to be a dive bar, so they're collecting as many of these attributes as they can.
Does location on, above, or in the ground matter?
No, I don't think so, because I've been to some upstairs dive bars, and I've been to some downstairs nice bars.
Okay. Yeah, so I was going to say that, too, next.
I feel like it could.
What? So,
That's an auxiliary.
There's a patronage thing, too. Right?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Now, you go to Joe's Crab Shack, the propensity of sleeveless denim, like, vests with appliques on them is probably pretty low as a percentage of participants, unless there's a rally in town, right?
Yeah.
So, I would say that, in that sense, Joe's Crab Shack does not have enough of the criteria to fulfill...
No, in fact, it's probably a bad example, because it's not just...
No, it's a perfect example, because it's an example
restaurant.
Of a place where you can get buckets of beers,
that's
and it's
true.
Got crap on the walls, and it's got...
Yeah, that's true. Like,
you know,
a
sort of... It's probably got dissimilar chairs. Like, you got some aspects here.
See, I'm still feeling that, because there's a bar in Castle Rock that does a lot of that stuff, but I don't know if I'd call it a dive bar, because its location doesn't... Like, it's in the middle of old downtown Castle Rock, which is, like, this really nice little town. Like, and
yeah.
So you're like,
so it doesn't
is
have
it
location.
A dive bar? Is that a thing?
Well,
thing
does,
like,
does it have the inattentive bouncer?
I don't remember.
No, that's fine. Does it have unenforced but draconian-sounding signs?
Some of them, yeah. That's what I was thinking
okay.
of. It's kind
does
of
it
like
have a sketchy bathroom?
I don't... Yes, it's got a bar bathroom. It does have that, like...
What?
Demeanor about it though, like it's kind of not,
like,
it's not really well lit. No, the whole place, like,
okay.
It's not really well lit. Like, it's very old wooden bar, so it doesn't look like they've renovated it in a while. The booths are those booths that, like, you put in when you're sure not sure where you want them, like, because
yeah.
you can move them, and like if you sit
yeah,
them
yeah.
too hard, they move around. And they had like the not. The mismatched chairs, but like the ramshackle, like, furniture arrangement, where like there's a table in the back corner, but like in order to get to that table, you actually have to not have a table there for a second and then put
yeah.
the table back.
You
and
have
then
to climb
can,
over
yeah.
things. Yeah.
And like, so you could fit 7 people at the table if you wanted to have the most comfortable bar experience of your life, but it does fit technically 7 extra people.
Yeah.
There was.
It doesn't not fit 7.
Live music? That was, like, right next to, like, it's a really small place, right? So, like, live music being there is, like...
Almost irritating because the guitarist keeps hitting you. Ow.
So,
quit it. God.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know if that... But, like, I don't know if that's, like, a dive bar, though. But maybe it is, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, I was at a dive bar, and I didn't realize...
Well, there's nothing wrong with a dive
bar. I got touched. I'm touched.
There's nothing wrong with a dive bar.
That's
dive
true.
Bars are fine.
That's
it's
true.
Just knowing... No, I mean, it's just people talk about dive bars, and you want to know the definition of them,
mm-hmm.
right?
So,
and
like,
you might have been at a dive bar.
Is that fucking that the hammock place that you go to do karaoke normally? Is that the place you go to?
No.
Over hanging, swinging over the moon or whatever?
Oh, Howl at the Moon.
Two different places, yeah.
We've tricked them into doing karaoke before, but they don't technically do karaoke.
Oh, because they do like piano stuff?
They do live mashups of songs and play piano.
So like, Corwin sung it there?
Well, we gave him money and they call him up on stage because we were talking about, I think we were talking about we were going to go to karaoke. He's like, well, just sing here. And then so he just came up and sang I think it was Queen Somebody to Love, actually.
Oh, wow.
And we've got video of it somewhere. And he sang it and, I think he walked up and said, I'm going to sing the dick off of this song. And then did. And then they said, you did. You sang the dick off of that song. Touche.
Freddie Mercury.
And then they had to follow that. I don't remember what they did.
Okay, so is that a dive bar?
No, it's a chain.
Okay. So chains can never be dive bars.
I don't think they can never be dive bars, but it kind of, it not being a chain is an attribute of being a dive bar.
Okay.
It's an optional. It's in the bucket.
Okay.
So you could be a chain of dive bars, but yeah, they have bucket beer, but they actually have buckets of liquor, fruity liquor too.
Okay.
So
when you diversify your buckets, you automatically move out of dive bars.
I don't think there's any automatic in or out.
Just kidding.
But I mean, the fact that they have branded buckets that are filled with like fruit punch liquor,
okay,
makes it difficult to call it a dive bar. So I feel like, okay, how about this? Dive bar, okay, if you don't have a full-service bar, like you don't have a variety of mixers, a variety of different liquors,
okay,
like if you don't have a large bar, that is another aspect of a potential dive bar, but not necessarily all dive bars. Now, Howl at the Moon has two bars fully stocked with every kind of liqueur and schnapps that you can imagine. It's nothing but panty dropper drinks.
Well-stocked.
Yeah, well-stocked. Well staffed.
Okay.
Poorly staffed.
Yeah, that's also
a part of it. There's like a bartender.
Yeah.
And maybe a cocktail waitress,
yeah,
if that. But almost no waitress.
That's another thing I was going to ask. So, does a dive bar offer food?
If a dive bar offers food, the menu has less than 10 items. Now, again, none of these aren't hard and fast. But I would say,
if you see a
single piece of regular, like, not even 110 pound stock, but just regular. Letter paper, printer paper, with either, well, nowadays nothing's typed, but you know, the modern equivalent of type, like Word document, Sense, you know,
Comic
Sans or something on it, right? And there's less than 10 items on it. That's a sign of a dive bar.
Okay, so
just like
we got bouncer,
not even laminated.
Bouncer who's not doing much. Unenforced signs.
Unenforced but draconian sounding signs.
Okay, like all.
Like everybody must have shoes. No shirts allowed. You're like, what the hell?
This vending machine with lots of different shit in it that isn't really
including including controlled substances like tobacco.
Yeah, controlled substances. wait staff of 1 to 2, if not like.
I would say sub. Understaffed.
Understaffed.
Consistently understaffed.
Consistently understaffed, okay.
Bar staff.
Patrons of caliber not suiting, I don't know. you're talking about people who look like they're regulars, but like shouldn't be regulars anywhere.
Well, they're clearly regulars because they're having a rapport with the bartender.
Okay.
But they're wearing rhinestones
of various, you know, questionable.
Any
fashion.
Amount of sleeveless denim.
Gotcha. It's sleeveless denim. There you go.
Any amount of sleeveless denim. Sleeveless denim.
I don't know about the bucket of beer things we threw in there, but like
I still think bucket beer is part of it.
Bucket beer, okay.
But not exclusively.
Okay,
it's not exclusively.
And so let's just say. Options that pander to the clientele's, like, you know, income. So, like, things where you can get lots of alcohol for not very much money.
Well, then, yeah.
But, like, again, that's not the definitive.
Not exclusively, but
some bars do happy hours that are just fucking crazy. Like,
yeah. And so you get student bars or whatever they're trying to do, Dollar Pipper or whatever. But okay. I think that's a fair thing to say is usually an aspect of
that. Okay, and the bathrooms that are even worse than normal bar bathrooms.
Disconcerting bathrooms.
Disconcerting, okay. Disconcerting bathrooms. So
above and beyond regular bar bathrooms.
7 criteria we have for a dive bar. That this bar that we've chose as the
here's a good example. There was no sign above the door that it was a bar. I felt like I walked in the back door.
Okay. Or lounge. No sign or called lounge.
I think those are both aspects. Being called a lounge definitely counts against you.
Okay.
Unless you're literally, because if you're a lounge anymore, you're a strip club or a dive bar.
Oh yeah, and then we add location.
Location,
like,
as in proximity to strip club.
Yeah.
And again. Not having signage over your door.
Okay, so that's about 9 or 10 criteria we have.
And I don't know how many, maybe 5? 5 would be enough?
See, because this, so we've effectively established that this karaoke bar you went last night is 100% of a dive bar. Because it is what we're using to
It's not like there's a dive bar in this scale. I feel like it's just kind of a cutoff. You're like, if you get five of these, you're a dive bar. Everything above that's bonus points. Like, you just are.
Yeah, so...
Like, compare this now to the Alamo.
Okay.
Back in Gunnison.
Okay.
Okay, they allow smoking inside.
I don't even know if I've been to that place.
Oh, they allow smoking inside is another great one. If they allow smoking inside anymore, that's extremely rare.
Can you do that?
Some places do.
Oh, my God.
The Alamo still did.
Okay.
It still did last time I passed out there.
I can see. I can just think about the Alamo, and I don't even have to go through the criteria, so that must be a good thing.
Yeah. Well, the Alamo had the other distinction, which is at least one point during the night, the cops would come looking for people.
Oh, that's another good one.
That's because they know they're gonna be there's gonna be here.
Law enforcement visits.
Yeah, it's like it's not that there's necessarily laws being broken at that place, but there will be a criminal that they're gonna look for there. Like if they need to find somebody, they know he's gonna be there.
Oh, rotten Reggie. Right? I knew I'd find you here.
Jimmy the Hook's here.
Jimmy the Hook.
We gotta find Jimmy the Hook. He's probably at the Alamo. Just hop on in there. He's always there on Wednesdays. You know, like...
Okay, so the Alamo has... We've established a new criteria.
Well, they had a cigarette vending... They sold cigarettes. I guess they sold cigarettes at the bar, though.
Oh, okay. But they sold chips at the bar, though, too, I bet.
They also had sketchy food. I think they didn't have their menu, but their food was absolutely sketchy. They had a pool table that was always in use.
Oh, that's another one.
I don't know if I can count that one.
Shuffleboard. They had a shuffleboard.
They did. But shuffleboard is also usually under the classier places. Had an unenthusiastic bouncer. They often had an unenthusiastic bouncer because I knew some of their bouncers and they just didn't give a fuck. They catered to the inexpensive people a lot, too.
Yeah, okay. Did they have draconian signage?
They did. I think they did. Yeah, I think we're rapidly approaching a point where we have identified characteristics.
Maybe if you have to hit half of them to be a dive bar, it seems like.
I would say, because
we have like 11 and
let's science this. Let's count counterexamples.
Okay.
What are counterexamples? What's a place that's not a dive bar but has some of those criteria?
That's what I'm saying. Is like I have trouble doing it because I don't know if I've actually just been going to dive bars my whole life.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like.
It's not bad, but.
Well, let's look. We were at a bar last night
Now we're here.
Yeah, this might have to be a round two.
Yeah, maybe.
Two-parter. Next time. On dive bars.